Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 430. And we're in the book of John, and we're going to be doing chapters 5 and 6 today. I would ask that you have something to write with so you can take notes on the notes. Because there's a whole bunch of them. I'm going to be reading them off twice. I really can't dwell on it. Otherwise, I'll never get the show done. I'll just talk about the notes all the time. So it would behoove you to write them down. Let's get into chapter 5 here. There was a festival going to go on, and they were going to go up there. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Pardon me, I have to cough just a second. Ah, there we go. Had a frog. Verse 1 of chapter 5. After this, there was a festival of the Ya'udim, that's the people of the land of Ya'uda and of the tribe of Ya'uda, the Israelites, okay? And Yeshua went up to Jerusalem, verse 2. And in Jerusalem at the sheep gate, there is a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Beth Zatha, having 5 porches, you know, that you sit out on a porch, okay? Verse 3, in these were lying a great number of those who were sick, blind, crippled, paralyzed, waiting for the stirring of the water. Okay, verse 4, this explains that. For a messenger was going down at a certain time into the pool and was stirring the water. Now, a messenger is what they call an angel. Okay? That's a divine messenger. Whoever stepped in first, then after the stirring of the water, became well of whatever disease he had. Verse 5. And a certain man was there who had a sickness 38 years. Verse 6. When Yeshua saw him lying there and knowing that he already had been a long time, he said to him, do you wish to become well? Verse 7. The sick man answered him, Master, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Verse 8. Yeshua said to him, Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Verse 9. And immediately the man became well, and he took up his bed and was walking. Now it was Shabbat on that day. Verse 10 of chapter 5. You can reference Nehemiah or Nehemiah in the Hebrew. Chapter 13, verse 19, that's Nehemiah 13, 19, and Jeremiah, or Yirmiyahu in the Hebrew, chapter 17, verse 21, that's Jeremiah 17, 21. The Yehudim therefore said to him who has been healed. Now these were not the standard people. These were other people walking around. Now you were not supposed to do any work on the Shabbat. Okay, they had modified that commandment to mean anything. You weren't supposed to do anything on that day. But the law says, the Torah says, you're not to do any work, like to make money. The day before, you'll put plenty of food out for your cattle and plenty of water. You don't water your cattle because that's how you make a living. But if your ox got caught in a ditch, you can't let your animal suffer. Therefore, it's an act of kindness and an act of goodness to go get that poor animal. That animal isn't at fault. That's not commercial work. In other words, you weren't to stoke your fire in order to do forging. You had your food already cooked. It was good. No problem. But anyway, these people said to him, it is the Shabbat. It is not right for you to take up the bed. Well, he's not working. He just picked up his bed and was going home. Wasn't making a living, wasn't engaged in commerce. Had nothing to do with that. Verse 11. And he answered them, "He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk." Therefore they ask him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" Verse 13. But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Yeshua had moved away, a crowd being in that place. Verse 14. Afterward, Yeshua found him in the set apart place. That's the temple. He was praying. He was worshiping. And said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, so that no worse matter befalls you." Verse 15, the man went away and told the Yehudim that it was Yeshua who made him well. Now these were the Yehudim, but it says Yehudim. So these people that were doing the persecuting, these were people of the land of Judah, but they were not Israelites. Verse 16, and because of this, the Yehudim, these are people of Judah, persecuted Yeshua and were seeking to kill him because he was doing these on the Sabbath. But Yeshua answered them, "My Father works until now, and I work." He was the Father in the flesh. Verse 18. Because of this, then, the Yehudim were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Shabbat, but he also called Elohim his own father, making himself equal with Elohim. And for verse 18, you can reference Wisdom of Solomon in your Apocrypha, if you have one. If not, they're available online for free. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16. That's chapter 2, verse 16 of the wisdom. Verse 19, therefore, Yeshua responded and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son is able to do none at all by himself, but only that which he sees the Father doing, because whatever he does, the Son also likewise does." Okay, the Son. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself does. And greater works than these he is going to show him, in order that you marvel. verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and makes alive, even so the Son makes alive whom he wishes. Verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but has given all the judgment to the Son. Verse 23, that all should value the Son, even as they value the Father. He who does not value the Son does not value the Father who sent him. Verse 24. Truly, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me possesses everlasting life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Verse 25 of chapter 5. Truly, truly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Elohim, and those having heard shall live. For as the Father possesses life in himself, so he gave also to the Son to possess life in himself. Verse 27, and he has given him authority also to do judgment, because he is the son of Adam. Verse 28, do not marvel at this, because the hour is coming in which all those in the tombs shall hear his voice. Now let's stop here for just a second. The dead. Okay. To make alive. This is a dual meaning. Those that are spiritually dead can be reanimated and come to life if they believe and trust in Yahshua, but he was also going to raise the dead, and he's going to explain this. He did raise some people that were dead, but verse 29 explains what he's talking about, bringing those forth from their tombs, okay? They're already gone, but they're going to hear his voice because they're not destroyed. They're sleeping. All right. And this is a dual meaning here. Verse 29. And shall come forth those who have done good, okay, to the resurrection of life, and those who have practiced evil to a resurrection of judgment. And the second death, reference Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Daniel 12, verse 2. Verse 30. Of myself, I am unable to do any matter. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own desire, but the desire of the Father who sent me. It has nothing to do with what he wants, only what Yahweh wants. Verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Verse 32. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Verse 33. You have sent to Yohanan, that's John the Baptist, and he bore witness to the truth. Now that you can reference John chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, and chapter 3, verses 27 through 30. That's John 1, 19 through 27. And John 3, 27 through 30. Verse 34. But I do not receive witness from man. Okay, mankind. But I say this in order that you might be saved. Verse 35. This is describing John the Baptist. He was the burning and shining lamp, and for a while you wished to rejoice in his light. Reference Sirach chapter 48, verse 1. That's Sirach 48, verse 1. Verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of Yohanan. Okay, better witness than John the Baptist. For the works that the Father gave me to accomplish, the works that I do, the works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Because he couldn't do that unless Yahweh permitted it. Verse 37. And 38. And the Father who sent me, he bore witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Verse 38, and you do not have his word staying in you because you do not believe him who he sent. You do not believe him whom he sent. And for 37 and 38, reference Matthew 3:17, Mark 1, verse 11, and Luke 3, verse 22. That's Matthew 3:17, Mark 1, verse 11, and Luke 3, verse 22. Verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think you possess everlasting life in them. In them. No. No, that's a how-to manual. But that's not where everlasting life comes from, okay? And these are the ones that bear witness of me. Those scripture verses, okay? You search the scriptures because you think you possess everlasting life in them. And These are the ones that bear witness of me. And you can reference Baruch chapter 4, verse 1. Baruch 4, 1 for verse 39. Verse 40. But you do not desire to come to me in order to possess life. No, they wanted to keep by their Talmudic rituals. That's what they were interested in. You do not desire to come to me in order to possess life. Verse 42. But I know you, that you do not have the love of Elohim in you. He's speaking to the Yehudim. That would be translated Jews right there. Okay? Because they don't worship who we worship. Verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. You do not receive me. They didn't want to hear the truth and the word from the Son of Yahweh. If another comes in his own name, him you would receive. In other words, they're going to follow men. Verse 44. How are you able to believe when you are receiving esteem from one another, and the esteem that is from the only Elohim you do not seek? Verse 45. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you. Moshe. The books of the Torah. In whom you have set your expectation. Verse 46. For if you believed Moshe, you would have believed me, since he wrote about me. And he did. He wrote about the coming Messiah. Verse 47. But if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? And you can reference Luke 16:31. That's Luke 16:31. So they talked about Moshe. That's what they did. They talked and talked and talked about Moshe. Oh, Moshe and the Torah and the blah, 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 blah. But they didn't believe. They didn't believe. They just gave lip service like they do for everything else. All right, that ends Chapter 5. Now we're going to get into chapter 6 of the book of John. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Let me get a little drink of this coffee. Oh, that's so good. Verse 1 of chapter 6. After this, Yeshua went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. That's Galilee. Okay. That is Lake Kinnereth. Verse 2. And a large crowd was following him because they saw his signs which he did on those who were sick. Verse 3. And Yeshua went up on a mountain, and there he sat down with his taught ones. Verse 4. And the Pesach was near, that's Passover, the festival of the Yahudim, those who praise Yah, not the Jews. Passover is not a Jewish feast. It's of Israel. Verse 5. Then Yeshua, lifting up his eyes and seeing a large crowd coming toward him, said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for them to eat?" Verse 6. And this he said, trying him, for he himself knew what he would do. He's just testing Philip. Verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii, that's a Roman monetary unit, worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for every one of them to receive a little. Verse 8, one of his taught ones, Andrew, the brother of Shimon Kepha, that's Simon Peter, said to him, verse 9, here is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these for so many? Verse 10. And Yeshua said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and the men, numbering about 5,000, sat down. All right, that's 5,000 people. Let me give an analogy here. Big rock concert, major band, selling tickets for months. That's the kind of crowd that had assembled there. That meant 5,000 people in one spot. Verse 11. And Yeshua took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed them to the taught ones, and the taught ones to those sitting down, and the same with the fish, as much as they wished. Whatever they, you know, if they were really hungry, they got a lot. All right, that's 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And they weren't great big huge loaves. They were 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That's it. Verse 12. And when they were filled, he said to his taught ones, gather the broken pieces that are left over so that none gets wasted. Verse 13, so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. 12 baskets. That I guess the barley loaves cloned themselves, okay? Gotta love it. Verse 14. Then the men, having seen the sign that Yeshua did, said, this is truly the prophet who is coming to the world. Okay. The world. Verse 15. Then Yeshua, knowing that they were about to come and seize him, that they might make him sovereign, because he was already the king, he just didn't want to take the earthly throne at that time, okay, that they might make him sovereign, withdrew again to the mountain alone by himself. Verse 16, and when the evening came, his taught ones went down to the sea. Because he was up on the mountain. Verse 17, and entering into the boat, that's what they used to get there, they were going over the sea toward Kephar Nachum, and it had already become dark, and Yeshua had not come to them yet. Verse 18, and the sea was rising because a great wind was blowing. Verse 19, when they had rowed about 25 or 30 stadia, that's about 5 to 6 kilometers or 3 or 4 miles. That's a lot of rowing. They saw Yeshua walking on the sea. And coming near the boat, and they were afraid. The sea is rambunctious and it's blowing all over, and the boat's rocking, and the wind is a blowing, and the waves are smashing against the boat. And here comes Yeshua walking on the sea. Yeah, they were afraid. Verse 20. And he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Verse 21. They wished therefore to take him into the boat. And at once the boat was at the land where they were going. Boom. They were there. He transported them there. Okay, they were out in the middle of the ocean, and boom, they were at the land. So, I know this is pretty science fiction-y. Teleportation, anybody? Okay. Boom. From the middle of the sea to the land instantly. We're not talking mankind science here. We're some kind of machine. We're talking a divine being that could do stuff like that. And we, you know, we worry about our power. We don't have any power. We got to do all kinds of stuff with machines and everything to do anything. We can't even go from New York to Los Angeles without a plane or a bus or a car or a motorcycle. He moved these people to the land by his will. The same way the universe was created by his will. Let there be, and there was. And these people tried to downsize to make small Yahweh and his son and the miracles that he did because they can't understand them. And the believers just sit back in awe. Don't know how he did it. Don't know exactly what was done, but it was done. And that's the point. Verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that was standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one into which his taught one had entered, and that Yeshua had not entered the boat with his taught ones. But his taught ones went away alone. So he transported them and he wasn't with them. Verse 23, but the other boats came from Kinnereth, near the place where they ate bread after the master had given thanks. Verse 24, therefore, when the crowd saw that Yeshua was not there, nor his taught ones, they themselves also entered into the boats and came to Kfar Nahum seeking Yeshua. Verse 25, and having found him on the other side of the sea, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Verse 26, listen to this response. Yeshua answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were satisfied. And here he does a parable, verse 27. Do not labor for the food that is perishing, but for the food that is remaining to everlasting life. The food of the Spirit, spiritual food, knowledge, okay, which the Son of Adam shall give you. That's him, the Son of Adam. And you can reference verse 33, verse 48, verse 51, verse 58, and Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Okay. That's verse 35, 48, 51, 58, and Matthew 4, 4. Verse 28. So they said to him, what should we do to work the works of Elohim? Verse 29, Yeshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Elohim, that you believe in him whom he sent. You shall believe in him whom he sent. Verse 30, so they said to him, what sign then would you do so that we see and believe you? What would you do? Verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it has been written. He gave them bread out of the heaven to eat. Now you can reference Psalm 78, verse 24. That's Psalm 78, 24. Psalm 105, verse 40. Psalm 105, verse 40. And Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 15. Nehemiah 9, 15. I'm trying to go slow enough so you can get this written down. Verse 32. Therefore Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, Moshe did not give you the bread out of the heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of heaven. Verse 33, for the bread of Elohim is he who comes down out of the heaven and gives life to the world. The order of arrangement, okay? He brought life instead of the death we were condemned to through sin. Verse 34, so they said to him, Master, give us this bread always. Verse 35, and Yeshua said to them, I am the bread of life. Yeshua is the bread of life, okay? He who comes to me shall not get hungry at all, but and he who believes in me shall not get thirsty at all. You won't be hungry for the truth or thirsty for the truth. You will have the truth. Verse 36, but I said to you that you have seen me and still do not believe. Stiff-necked, hard-headed rockheads. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I shall by no means cast out. The remnant, the ones that really believe and try to follow his teachings, okay, he will not cast you out. Verse 38, because I have come down out of the heaven, not to do my own desire, but the desire of him who sent me. Verse 39, this is the desire of the Father who sent me, that all he has given to me, I should not lose of it, but should raise it in the last day. That's the fruits of the resurrection, okay? Those that was given to him, that's the remnant. Those that are his sheep. Verse 40, and this is the desire of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should possess everlasting life, and I shall raise him up in the last day. So if you perish now, when he returns, he will raise you up. Even though your body is rotted, you will have a new body. Verse 41. Therefore the Yehudim were grumbling against him because he said, I am the bread which came down out of the heaven. They just couldn't handle it, couldn't connect with it. And this is why. And verse 42, and they said, is that not this Yeshua, the son of Yosef, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down out of heaven? They weren't understanding the parable. Verse 43. Then Yeshua answered and said to them, do not grumble with one another. Now pay attention to this. Verse 44. No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I shall raise him up in the last day. Verse 45. As it has been written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by Yahweh. And you can reference Isaiah 54, verse 13. That's Isaiah 54, 13, and Jeremiah 31, 34. Jeremiah 31, 34. Everyone, then, who has heard from the Father and learned, comes to me. Verse 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from Elohim. He has seen the Father. Verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, possesses everlasting life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Verse 50, this is the bread which comes down out of the heaven so that anyone might eat of it and not die. Okay, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down out of the heaven. The living bread. And if you partake of his teachings and follow them, you will live. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And indeed, the bread that I shall give is my flesh. He's going to give up his earthly body . Okay, the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. That's order of arrangement. Right there, cosmos. The world, the order of arrangement that Yahweh established. Not the world that we live in now that Satan has perverted. But the real order of arrangement, not Satan's order of arrangement. Verse 52. The Ya'udim, therefore, were striving with one another, saying, how is this one able to give us his flesh to eat? Yeshua, this is verse 53. Yeshua, therefore, said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the son of Adam and drink his blood, you possess no life in yourselves. Verse 54. This is metaphorical. This is not literal. Not talking about cannibalism. Verse 54. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood possesses everlasting life, and I shall raise him up in the last day. Verse 55. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. He is a fountain of life, and the bread of life. Verse 56. Verse 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood stays in me, and I in him. In other words, follow his teachings. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about eating physical food. He's talking about following his teachings. Verse 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me shall live because of me. The food he's giving us is the food of the gospel, the truth. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down of the heavens. Not as your fathers ate the manna and died. He who ate this bread shall live forever. It changes you. Okay. Verse 59. He said this in a congregation teaching in Kfar Nahum. Verse 60. Therefore, many of his taught ones, having heard, said, this word is hard. Who is able to hear it? Verse 61. But Yeshua, knowing within himself that his taught ones were grumbling about this, said to them, "Does this make you stumble?" And here we go. What if, verse 62, what if you see the son of Adam going up where he was before, ascending back into heaven? Verse 63, reference 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, the wisdom of Solomon, 9, 13 through 18, and the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 20. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 45, wisdom 9, 13 through 18, and Luke 9, 20. Verse 63. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh does not profit at all. The words that I speak to you are are spirit and are life. Okay? Real life, not this flesh that falls apart. Verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would deliver him up, because Yehudas Iscariot was with them. Okay. Verse 65. And he said, because of this, I have said to you that no one is able to come to me unless it has been given to him by my Father. It's the only way you're going to get to him. If you're called, and if you're not called, you're not going. And this called the herd. Okay, verse 66. From then on, many of his taught ones, not the apostles, the taught ones, the ones that were following around with him. From then on, many of his taught ones withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Now here, verse 67. Therefore, Yeshua therefore said to the 12, the other people were just following around listening. This is the 12. Do you also wish to go away? Verse 68. Then Shimon Kephas, Simon Peter, answered him, Master, to whom shall we go? You possess words of everlasting life. Verse 69. And we have believed and we know that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. And you can reference for 68 and 69. Matthew 16, 16. Mark 8, 29. Matthew 16, 16. And Mark 8, 29. Verse 70, Yeshua answered them, Have I not chosen you the 12, and one of you is a devil? That's Yehuda Iscariot. Verse 71, he was now speaking of Yehuda from Kerioth, the son of Shimon, for he, one of the 12, was about to deliver him up. And that ends the reading for today. I don't even have time to play the bumper music. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Talk to you on the next show. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going.